Here's a welcome to the show, Royce Young of ESPN. Royce, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. How are you guys doing today?
We're great. So, were you in New Orleans last night and then you fly to Charlotte today? Is that how it goes?
I'm in neither place. I'm still in lovely, cold Oklahoma City.
You don't have to go to Charlotte this weekend?
I don't. I was able to make my way out of not having to do that.
Well, good for you. That's winning right there. Unlike the Thunder last night. Royce, I hate to say it. Maybe I'm just feeling nice because it's a Friday. I kind of give the Thunder a pass last night just because clearly they did not show up to play any type of defense, and it just seemed like the mindset was already on the All-Star break.
Yeah, it looked like they tried to kind of coast into that one, didn't it, Dusty? And it felt like the writing was on the wall for that game after the Pelicans got destroyed by the Magic the other night. And, you know, they hit really a low point. Everybody was focusing in on their dysfunction. And, you know, things have gotten even worse, obviously, with the Pelicans and with Anthony Davis leaving and now Del Demps being relieved of his job. But a lot of the players in that locker room, specifically Drew Holiday, Julius Randle, even Jahlil Okafor, you know, they're prideful guys, and especially Holiday. He's a class player. So it's not surprising that he showed up and played hard. And they've still got a few good players on that team. It's not like this Pelicans team is completely trashed. I mean, they've got some talented guys. That doesn't mean the Thunder should feel okay about losing that game. They should have won, but it, you know, like you said, Dusty, with all the circumstances involved there, I think it's a forgivable loss.
Why'd they fire Del Demps?
Yeah, it sounds like it was it came from the top down, Mark. That Gail Benson, this is her first real big decision as the sole owner of the franchise. And that, you know, I think it was based on what it sounds like is that it was kind of a combination of the situation with Anthony Davis, but also just that he's somebody that has really preached accountability and, you know, leadership. And there was, I think, a feeling from the organization that he wasn't really holding up those ends of the bargain on his own. So, I think that it was a bad situation. It, you know, in essence here, Anthony Davis got Del Demps fired. But let's not act like Del Demps has been some immensely successful executive. You know, he's been there 9 years. I think they've made 3 playoff appearances. And the furthest they've been is the second round. And his missteps with Anthony Davis and building a team around him have been well chronicled. So it's not like Del Demps had a lot of equity to begin with. But then once Anthony Davis made his trade request, it was going to be hard for Del Demps to ever save his job.
All right, we were discussing this. I'm going to stay on this topic a little bit. We were discussing this some earlier with Craig in the 11 o'clock hour. What do you think this summer the value is going to be out there for Anthony Davis? What type of package do you think it's going to take or will be available for the Pelicans when they start to deal Anthony Davis?
You know, if you talk to people around the league, Dusty, they would tell you it's actually higher than what it was right at this present time.
I would agree with that too, by the way.
Look, everybody could read right through the situation. You know, everybody could read through the trade request. Everybody could read through the leverage play from Anthony Davis and his representatives, and that there was really one offer out there that was real and legitimate. That was the Lakers offer. That was really the only offer that was, you know, the Knicks made an offer with Porzingis, and that was probably intriguing. But, you know, when it comes to this summer, you throw the Boston Celtics in the mix, and if Danny Ainge stays true to his word and throws in high-level draft assets and potentially Jason Tatum, that's gonna raise the offers everywhere else. You're gonna have to really bring something good to the table to compete with the Celtics offer if they're really serious about doing that. So, and then plus you have the potential of whoever gets the number one pick, they could potentially be offering that up for a shot at Anthony Davis, especially if it's the Knicks. So, from what I understand, I think the offers are going to be better this summer than they were at the trade deadline.
What are Hamidou Diallo's chances in the dunk contest?
You know, I really wasn't that high on him, Mark. And I was standing there at practice the other day, and just kind of like Hamidou Diallo was kind of finishing up a workout. And just completely effortlessly, he just throws the ball off the side of the backboard, takes off like, you know, he was kind of on like the baseline side, takes off like maybe 2 steps outside the paint, and grabs it and just windmills down just an insane dunk. And, yeah, that's probably not one that's going to, like, get a 10 in the dunk contest per se, but it caught me off guard because what he looked like, you know, you know how Zach LaVine has that kind of, like, effortless gliding ability, and that's kind of what everybody was so struck by was just the sheer elevation and kind of almost seeming ability to fly by Zach LaVine. That's what Diallo looked like. So I'm going to give him a good chance. I don't know if he's going to have something up his sleeve or anything like that. And I kind of feel like he's the kind of guy that I could see missing a few dumps. If he can bring that athleticism, I think he's got a chance.
You've been to All-Star Weekend before, right?
Oh yeah.
What's it like on that Saturday night when you've got the skills challenge, you got 3-point contest, dunk contest? I mean, is it a good buzz, good energy? Is it fun event to be at?
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, look, All-Star Saturday night and really just All-Star Weekend in general, Dusty. It's just kind of for the fans, especially the local fans, and it's a chance. It's a lot more than just, you know, seeing the players in the events. You know, the players are around, they're in the community, they do a number of different events throughout the day, and then those kind of events at night kind of are the culmination of it. And, you know, I think that this year I'd be curious to know how excited people are going to be. Now, they got a hometown guy in Miles Bridges in the dunk contest, but there's not a lot of big names there. But everybody's always kind of fired up for the dunk contest. And the way it always feels to me is the 3-point contest has always been kind of the setup for it. Lately, the 3-point contest has been sometimes more entertaining than the dunk contest. But yeah, Everybody wants to get through the skills stuff. Everybody wants to get through the other things and really get to the 3-point contest and the dunk contest because that's what everybody wants to see on Saturday night.
I thought it was a great move picking up Markieff Morris. He's not a superstar, but they've got to have depth at that position. And set aside my fears here. I know that you said that Jeremy Grant could have played last week, but is this a response to maybe the injury is worse than it was first thought?
I don't know if it's necessarily that. I think it's as much that there's not a lot of faith and trust in Patrick Patterson as Jeremy Grant's backup. And I think you kind of saw that. He's just been so inconsistent throughout this season as the guy that they can rely upon to knock down open shots. And, I think that for the organization, Patterson just really hasn't been the kind of role player that they really hoped he would be. He's a pro's pro. He's a class guy. And he plays hard when he's out there, but he hasn't provided the extra punch in that second unit that I think that they wanted, Mark. And I think that was, again, illustrated last night's game. Patterson shot the ball really poorly. So, this is a big get for the Thunder. Markieff Morris is no slouch. He's a nice player. And, you know, he's an 11, 12 point a night kind of guy. And he's not signing with the Thunder unless they've probably made some assurance with him that he's going to play a semi-significant role. I don't think that that's going to be, you know, over 20 minutes necessarily, but he's going to get, I bet, most of Patrick Patterson's minutes. And there's probably some different lineup combinations in there where you can play kind of a small ball group with him, or, you know, I think he's the type of player that's pretty versatile in a number of different lineups. And the other thing about Morris is he's not known for being a defensive player, but he plays hard, and it's not like he's some chump on defense. He can play a little bit, and he's going to body people up, and he's not that bad on that end of the floor.
Tough, gritty, physical, veteran. I mean, it feels a need you have as far as depth goes. I really like it a lot. My only question is a lot of people questioning how healthy he is.
Yeah.
How healthy is he, Royce?
That's a fair point, Dusty, and you know, he got that second opinion on his neck. I can't even say the injury. It's some, you know, I don't know what it is, but it's basically he took a blow to his neck and it caused a really, really bad injury. And, you know, initially it was thought to maybe be season ending, but he got a second opinion, got cleared to play. So he hasn't played since late December. And that's a long time to not have played many games. But, I would assume that the Thunder are not making this move and giving up one of their roster spots to Markieff Morris, and there was a number of teams after him. I mean, look, it was the Lakers, Rockets, Raptors, Nets. A lot of the top-level contenders were after him, and they're not doing that unless they see him as a contributor. So I'm sure that Markieff Morris is represented by Rich Paul, and I'm sure he was making sure every team knew out there that his client's going to be ready to go, and I think that's what the Thunder's expectation is.
We just had this little exercise between the three of us. Since it's the All-Star break, we're going to ask you to project you to look ahead. Where you think Oklahoma City is going to finish the season in the West, two or three, or something else, and then who they play in the first round?
That's a good question. I've been thinking about that a little bit myself lately, and because they started to put a little bit of pressure on the Nuggets. And look, they're not safe and secure from dropping to 4 or 5 by any means because the West is so competitive. But I do think the Thunder, if I'm betting, I'm thinking they're not going to fall below 3. It's going to be 2 or 3. They play the Nuggets 2 more times. Once in Oklahoma City, once in Denver. So those 2 games are going to be pretty important in terms of determining that. I think that they're trending in a better direction right now than the Nuggets, but I still feel like this Thunder team, Mark, they're just not immune to the bad loss, as we saw last night. And no team is necessarily, but my instinct just tells me they're going to finish 3rd, and they're probably going to draw Utah is going to be my guess. I think it's going to be a 3-6 matchup with Utah.
Ooh, Utah 6. I think Utah is going to be 3rd.
Oh, whoa. You got Utah climbing to 3, huh?
Yeah, yes, I do.
Okay, so lay it out. Lay your top 8 on me.
Okay, well, I just think that the Jazz schedule is so easy. I mean, like, they got an East Coast road trip to New York, Atlanta, Chicago, and a bunch of games at home. And I think that they're playing a little bit better right now. So I think
Houston's going to finish 4th.
Okay,
Houston's got them 6th.
Yeah, this is good stuff. See, this is why the last 30 games are going to be, or 25 games are going to be so fun, is because I can't tell which way the Spurs are going to go. I feel like the Spurs might finish 8th. They might finish 7th. I don't think they're going to climb up to 4th or 5th, but it's hard to pick that.
Do the Lakers get in?
That's the question. That's where I was going.
Do the Lakers get in? I said yesterday I convinced myself that the Kings, I would favor them over them, and within that one conversation, I'd reconvinced myself. That's the power LeBron has over me. It's just unbelievable that I can't escape him. So I would still begrudgingly say that the Lakers find a way to get in, but I don't feel good about it.
That's what what I want to say, Dusty, is just based on what we've seen, is I want to say no, they don't, because I don't think they're playing that good. I think that's a dysfunctional team. I don't think that locker room's all that together. I think LeBron is not completely locked in on this season, and I feel like that on the surface I would say, no, I don't think they do. But then I step back like you, and I'm like, okay, first of all, it's LeBron. So are we really going to go from LeBron making the finals every single year to now missing the playoffs? And then secondly, am I really going to take the Sacramento Kings,
right,
LeBron James, out of the playoffs? And I come back around just like you, and I'm going to say, no, I think the Lakers are getting in.
Yeah, that's – dude, you just answered the question. Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
I do believe in Buddy, though. Buddy is playing some ball.
I'm going to be rooting for him tomorrow night in that 3-point contest. I'm going to ask you one real question about last night's game, and this is kind of just – moving into Mark had a great number. We know Mark. Give me that number again, as far as
it's 78% wins when Russell triple doubles, and it's about 20% wins when he shoots 10 threes.
So my question is, and I think that's a great stat, is they don't think 7 of 29. I mean, 29 threes between Paul George and Russell. They acknowledge that's bad, right? They know that's not the recipe for this team to win games, right? I mean, just tell me that, because my only fear would be that we come out of the All-Star break and we see Russell does so many good things, and I don't want to be telling Russell, but he knows he needs to limit his 3-point shooting, right? Tell me he knows that.
Yeah, I think he is understanding of that, and I think last night was a little bit of an outlier. He hit a couple early. They were kind of, you know, last night was just you're just standard Russell Westbrook is the guy trying game, because I think Paul George had disengaged a little bit in last night's game, just based on the fact that he really didn't drive the ball bucket much. He really did kind of camp out and shoot a lot of threes, and I think Westbrook saw it as, okay, this is one where maybe I got to carry us to the finish line. And you know, look, that's sometimes when Westbrook excels, and he was fantastic.
He was incredible. I thought his effort in the fourth quarter was off the charts.
But I would say this, Dusty. I think that Paul George taking 17 threes, that feels like a lot. But, look, the guy's shooting like 42% from three.
I think you can stomach that, but when you pair that with 12 from Russell, you know, I'm just saying
I see what you're saying. I mean, look, 44, what'd they take, 44 as a team, I think?
Right.
I think that's too many. And especially when they were so effective from two-point range last night. They finished shooting the game like, I don't know what they finished. It was close to 50% overall. It was in the high 40s, I think, and that's shooting the ball really poorly from three-point range. So that goes to show how effective they were from two-point range. So, yeah, but here's the thing, Dusty. and this is something we've talked about a lot, is that when playoff time rolls around, I start to worry a little bit about that might be the way that Russell Westbrook approaches the game.
That's what I'm wondering.
Staying disciplined.
That's what I'm wondering.
I think he's working really hard to avoid that. And I'm gonna forgive last night as an outlier because it was the game before the break, and I think that they just hoped they could shoot themselves to a win, and they didn't do it.
Right. Well, great stuff, Royce. Enjoy the weekend with the family. We'll talk to you again on Monday, man.
All right. See y'all.
It's Royce Young, ESPN. Always great breakdown on the Oklahoma City